Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Can we just put our hands together? We're applauding Him. Lord, thank you. Ronnie and Aurelia, thank you guys for sharing your story with us. We are so inspired and encouraged, weren't you, by that story? Thank you for sharing that. Let's bow our heads and look to the Lord. Lord, we thank you. This is the day. This is the moment. This is a miracle moment for several of us under the sound of my voice. This is the moment that you have made. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Spirit of the living God, come. Lord, as we look to you and look to your word, I pray, God, that you bring a certain clarity to our lives. Lord, for many of us who came in discouraged, Lord, I thank you that encouragement and help is already on the way. In Jesus' name, all of us said, come on, all of us said, amen. You may be seated. It is good to see you this morning. Merry Christmas to you. If you would, go ahead and pull out your note sheet. If you're brand new with us, we're glad you're here, but this is a note-taking church. So find a pen, look on the seat backs there in front of you. If you did not receive an outline, this is the moment you can lift your hands up. Unashamed, just lift your hands up and we'll make sure you have something to follow along with. Some of you are tracking along in our app, and that's fine as well. But we are in this series, as Pastor Alon said earlier, Finding Christmas. I'm looking around here before I get into the message. I want to draw attention and thank and applaud and appreciate one of our very own who's just passed a landmark. This has been a dream of his since he was basically a boy, but he just made it through infantry. What's it called? Infantry officers. Thank you, honey. Infantry officers training and camp for the Marines. And this is like the elite. Many people dropped out, but he just graduated yesterday. Mike, where are you? Come on, stand up. Let us. Are you here? Congratulations, brother. Officer training for the Marines. Woo! You did it, brother. We salute you. Congratulations. So we're in this series called Finding Christmas, and I thought before we dive into today's message, I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page. And when we say Finding Christmas, what do I mean, or what do we mean by Christmas? Now, I'm going to ask you to engage your mind right now. If you get distracted and come back to me 5 minutes later, you're going to miss something, okay? What do we mean? What do I mean by finding Christmas? We're talking about finding Christmas, but what do you mean by Christmas? Well, let me suggest something. This is what I mean by finding Christmas, or what do we mean by Christmas? And that is, Christmas is the joy, the laughter, the contentment. Here it is, the deep satisfaction and security of experiencing the perfect love of God and others. Let me say it again. That's not in your notes, but you might want to write it down. What do we mean by Christmas? The deep, liberating satisfaction and fulfillment of experiencing the perfect love of God and others. You know, it's like Christmas is, what do I mean by Christmas? It's like home. You know, that place where you are free from the awkwardness of always, like, overly being self-conscious. You know what it is like to go home. Like, you don't have to constantly worry about what do I sound like, or what does someone else think. Why? Because my brothers and sisters already know me. They know me through and through, and I can just relax. I can just be at peace and be who I am. I mean, I might irritate my brothers and sisters, but they still love me. This is home. I don't have to perform. So I want to stop right there. That's what I mean by Christmas. We're talking about that song, Where Are You Christmas? Why can't I find you? Why have you gone away? Why can't I hear the laughter? Why can't I hear the music play? Well, let's talk about it. There's one sentence in Scripture that I think gives us a clue why many of us have lost Christmas. Lost what? What I just told you. What I just told you, that feeling of the deep satisfaction of the perfect love of God and love of others as well. One sentence. We're in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, and see if you can and pick it up on maybe the reason some of us have lost Christmas. Let's read together. For freedom, Christ, everyone out loud together, here we go. For freedom, Christ has set us free. So why did Christ set us free? Freedom. Now, you're already engaging your mind. I know we're an emotional church, but we also have our minds. I want you to track along. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, let's read the next three words together. Stand firm, therefore. Let's say it out loud together. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to what? A yoke of slavery. Christ, you came. Christmas is all about remembering that Christ came to set us what? Free. Okay, you're with me. It's about liberty. So I took a stab at rewriting this verse in Galatians 5:1. So this is give me a little liberty here. This is Pastor Charlie's version, okay, of Galatians 5:1. Let's read this out loud together. Christ set us free so we would what? Think about that. Christ came to set us free so we would what? Actually live like we're free. So, let's keep going. Be vigilant and remain free. Turn to somebody next to you. Say, are you free? Come on, ask them. Be vigilant and remain free. Read this next sentence with me if you would. Don't surrender one inch of your life. Watch out. Stand firm. Don't become a slave again. I want you to hear that. Some of us have lost Christmas because we haven't been vigilant and we've become slaves again to the very things that Christ came to free us from. Now, Christ saw himself as a liberator. What do liberators do? They set people, he thought of himself, I'm on a mission, and this mission is liberty. One of the first messages, this is wonderful that we have witnesses that recorded this message. One of the first messages that Jesus preached, he stood up in the synagogue and took the scriptures, the Bible. They didn't have a book like this. They had a scroll, and he pulled out the scroll and looked up Isaiah and found the place where it was written, and he read these words to hearers. This was in the first century. This is what the Lord said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord, read this with me if you would. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim gloomy and sad and depressing news to people who are already depressed. No, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Make sure I'm reading the Bible, okay? He anointed me and called me to proclaim good news. Now, hold on, stay with me here, because if you just take this literally, you're going to completely miss the mission of Jesus and the reason why he came. You think, well, he just came to preach good news to people who were poor. In reality, there are people who are wealthy in this room this morning, and yet you are poor. And Jesus has some good news to share with you. Did you hear me? Oh, I thought that wealthy people and that rich people had this, they had the dream. Like, no, I'm sorry. Jesus has good news to preach to you. Now, I want you to think about this. Just don't think on the surface, literally, something much more profound is happening here. Let's keep going. He's proclaimed good news. I'm here to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim, here it is again, this idea, freedom for what?
Well, I'm not incarcerated. I'm very much free. And yet there are people here who are free, but you are locked up. You're imprisoned to something. And God sent a liberator. Hello, Christmas, where are you? Why can't I find you? He's here for freedom. Christ came to set us free. Freedom from those who are locked in to some things, that recovery of sight for those who are, I'm just not seeing life the way I should. And he wants to open our eyes. Let's keep going. That next passage there. To set the oppressed, what? Free. There it is again. And he sent me to proclaim, this is, do not think literal. You're going to miss it. This is not a 12-month period. This is the season, the era, the epic, the time period of the Lord's what? Of his kindness, of his unmerited goodness, of his unconditional love. But here's the thing. In your notes, here's the caution. If we're not careful, and I've already said this, if we're not careful, we can surrender or we can become slaves again to the very things that God worked so hard and paid such a high price to set us free from. That's why Paul said in the first century, stand firm. Stand firm. Don't surrender one ounce of the freedoms that have been won for you. Stand firm in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. Now turn to someone again and say, stand firm. Come on, stand firm. Don't relinquish. Not one inch of the liberty that you have in Christ. So let's just stop right here in your notes. Let's remind ourselves this Christmas season, what are the things that Christ has set us free from? If we're going to stand firm, what are those things? And just on a side note, by the way, I was just preparing for this. I got down to about 10 things and had to stop. I could have kept going. So you'll be glad to know there's only 4 here. So we're cutting the message short. And it's interesting to know that I only got through the first one in the first service, okay? So I'm just warning you, just there's so much. In fact, we live our lives discovering all the freedoms and all the liberties that we have in Christ Jesus the Lord. So let's just begin. Let's just begin the conversation. In Christ, what am I freed from? In Christ, the first thought I want us to think of is that in Christ we are freed from guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. So these are two emotions that every single person in this room deal with. Don't care who you are. Pastor Charlie, don't care how holy you are. Doesn't matter who you are. Every one of us in here deal, say it with me, with what? Guilt and shame. And isn't it interesting how all of us deal and cope with these emotions in different ways? Right? Some of us medicate. Everyone say ouch. You know. We are the most medicated society ever in the history of the world. We try to numb these emotions. We try to ignore them through hyperactivity. That's probably the most common one. If we just stay busy, I don't have to deal with the guilt and my shame. I praise God for professional counselors and people who come along. So some of us go through there looking for help. Some of us go to the bookstore, or we're looking for self-help books and programs of empowerment to help us with this. Do you know, I just want to stop. Do you know that Jesus, the gift of God in Jesus, deals with these two emotions? Very real. We can deny we have them, but they're very real. Guilt and shame. First of all, let's talk about guilt. What does guilt say? These are a little different. Guilt says, I've done something bad. That's what guilt says. I've done something bad. And
Scripture would call this, the word in Scripture is, we would call this sin. And I've done something wrong, and so I feel guilty about that. And guilt can be a very positive thing if it leads us in the right direction, or it can be toxic in our lives, because if we don't deal with guilt properly, it leads to shame. Now, shame takes it a step further. Guilt says, I've done something bad. Shame says, I am bad. And there's a world of difference. Now, in shame, I'm not worthy. I'm not any good. I shouldn't expect too much out of my life. Or I could never do that because I'm not good enough. Now I have identified myself. So the Lord comes, and the gift of Christmas is the gift of freedom from our guilt and our shame. Wow. How does that happen? Well, I'm just reminding you of Christmas and what it means. Ephesians. How does he deal with guilt? Lord, I've done something that's wrong. And I feel bad about that, Lord. How does he deal with that? In Ephesians, the scripture tells us that read this with me if you would. For by the blood of Christ we are, there it is again. You can't read the Gospels or the New Testament without coming across this theme of liberty and freedom. For by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, what does that mean, set free? Our what? Our sins. The things that I have done wrong that I'm ashamed of, I feel guilty about, they are what? Forgiven. How great is the what? Grace of God. Grace. What's that mean? The unmerited kindness and favor of God. And so Jesus said, I've come to tell you that this is the season of God's unmerited favor and of his grace. Wow. That your sins can be forgiven. Listen, God is not waiting for you to do something for him so he'll be generous to you. God is already generous, whether you are or not. He is gracious and he is good. For by his blood, our sins are forgiven and I am set free. Now we have to be careful that we do not, even though we've been set free, that we live as free and don't allow ourselves to slip back into living into self-condemnation. Why? Because Christ has already made me free in his blood. He paid the price for the forgiveness of my sins. Peter is telling, who's a Jew. Now this is hard for us to understand, but he's a Jew and he's speaking to a Gentile, Cornelius. And in Acts chapter 10, he's explaining to Cornelius, Cornelius, this is who Jesus is, and this is what he did. And I just want to look at this one sentence. He teaches him a whole bunch. But he says, he's speaking of Jesus. This is Peter. He says to him, read with me if you would, to him, all the prophets, they witness about Jesus that, here we go, everyone, what does that mean, everyone? That's everyone. Whether Jew, Gentile, slave, free, everyone, keep going with me, who believes in him receives what? Pardon. Everyone who looks to Jesus, who comes to Jesus, who trusts in Jesus, receives forgiveness of sins, what? Through his name. Now, I just want to remind us that Jesus deals with our guilt. How? By forgiving our sins. Now, what does this mean practically? What does this mean? Well, in Romans chapter 8, it says that Paul says this is what it means. Therefore, because of this, there is what? How much condemnation? There's got to be a little bit. A little bit of judgment toward, a little bit of, you know, you're never going to, you're just a mess. No. There is therefore now no what? No guilt. None. Why are you living in it? Stand firm. Come on, stand firm in what Christ has done for you. Don't allow yourself to be a slave again to your own self. Condemnation. Why? Because he was condemned on your behalf so that you might be free. There is therefore now no condemnation, the scripture says. How? Come on, if we're going to clap, clap to the Lord. This is what he's done. Lord, I thank you. I feel my energy. I feel my Christmas coming on again. That's where you are, Christmas. I found you. There is therefore now no condemnation. I'm standing next to this screen, so that verse will go up there. Can we get it up there? Romans, there is, here we go. Otherwise, I'll be here preaching, okay? There is therefore now no condemnation, none, for those who are what? Who connected themselves, who surrendered themselves to Christ, who trust in Christ, who trust in the gift of God. That's in Christ. I want you to just take a deep breath. Pat yourself right here. Put your notes down. You're just take one hand. Pat yourself. Come on. I'm waiting for you. Say this with me. In Christ, I'm completely forgiven. And I'm free. He who the Son sets free is what? Is free indeed. Be careful. Be careful that you don't lose Christmas. Go back into slavery of guilt. You know, I was feeling like I was praying for you and praying for the service this morning because it's so easy for us to live there. When Christ has opened up the prison door and said, come on out. We looked at this passage several times. John 3:17. God did not send his son into the world. Back up again. God did not send his son into the world to do what? To condemn the world. But he sent his son in order that the world might be what?
Saved.
Some of us in here, you're such under the guilt of what you've done. And God offers you the gift of complete cleansing and forgiveness in his son, in Jesus. That my sins, Lord, my guilty, and that's true, I am guilty, Lord, but I can receive forgiveness. I can receive forgiveness in you. Some of us in here need to draw near to Jesus, to God the Father. He is not a condemner. He is a justifier and a forgiver and a cleanser of all unrighteousness. I was reminded of the story in John 8 where, you know, the woman that was caught in adultery. And they grabbed her and drug her out into the streets and threw her there in the dust. And the men of the city gathered around and they picked up stones and they were getting ready to stone her. Jesus happened to be walking by. And he said, hey, Jesus, the law, our Bibles, the law of Moses says that we should stone her. She was caught in the very act of adultery. Hint, she's guilty. Guilty and condemned, right? We caught her. The law of Moses says that we should stone her. What do you say? Now, and what does the Son of God say? Not Moses, but Jesus, the Son of God. He stands there for a moment. And the tense in the Greek is they kept asking him, come on, Jesus, what do you say? Come on, Jesus, we're ready to stone her. She deserves it. But the good news is not about what you deserve. The good news is about the depth and the height and the length and the width of God's love. It's wide enough to include you. His love is not narrow. So she's sitting there, and finally Jesus speaks up and says, he who is without sin, throw the first stone. And with that, humanity closed its mouth. The scripture says from the oldest to the least, they began to walk away, drop their stones, and there she was just in the dirt, condemned. I know I'm guilty. I'm so ashamed. Now I'm humiliated. I'm embarrassed. And let us pick up the story because I don't want to mess it up. Let's look at the actual witness to the account in John 8. Jesus stood up. He said to her, "Woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Has no one..." Look at this. Look at this. Come on. Say the question that Jesus asked. "Has no one what? Condemned you?" Looks around. Humiliated. "No, Lord. No one's here." And Jesus said to her, say it with me, "Neither do I condemn." Now I want you to go and leave that life that you've been living. But listen, I want you to hear, some of us need to hear this phrase again from the Son of God. "I don't condemn you. That's not why I came. You're missing it. It wasn't a mission of condemnation. It's a mission of abundant life. It's a mission of liberty, that the guilty can be set free. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him who receive him, we are made right and whole with the Lord." With the Lord. So I was praying, this thought, don't return to that slavery again. Some of us in here, listen, you need to stop beating yourself up. You know, in our minds, Christ came to pull you out of that and to forgive your sins and to wash away the guilt of your past, but in your mind you're reminding yourself of how unworthy and how guilty you are, and you're finding yourself in that place of self-condemnation, and you're being reminded this morning that Jesus shed his blood so that you might be cleansed and totally free and forgiven. Stand firm. Remember it. Stand firm in the freedom by which Christ has made you free. Now, some of you relax. We're not going to get beyond point one. So just you're going, "I got to get to two, three, what's happening?" Just relax and just receive whatever it is, the Spirit of the Lord, wherever he takes us this morning, okay? If we're not careful, I said this earlier, if we don't properly deal with our guilt, we can do all kind of ways, but only Jesus has the authority and power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In him, I am free. If we don't properly deal with it, it will always lead now to shame. Now what's shame? Now we're taking it a step further. Now, it's not just I did something bad. Now it's I am bad. I'm unworthy. And unworthiness just clouds our thinking. Some of us don't even realize it, but it's, you can't even see life right because you don't really sense and see your value. Here's a question in your notes. Look down your notes if you would. Let's read this question together. You ready? Read it with me. If you are no good and worthless, then why did God send his son and pay such a high price? Now think about that. My identity now is I'm not worthy of a good life. The shaming conversations that we have in our minds. So if you're not worthy or you're not of any value, then how come God paid such a high price for you? Don't we think of something in terms of values, how much we're willing to pay for it? And the scripture says that you were so valuable, it wasn't even silver and gold that could pay for you. That's how much value you are. But it was the precious blood of Jesus that has redeemed you. That's how valuable you are and precious you are to God. Look what Peter said. Peter said this, he said these words, realize or think about or consider. Time out in the Christmas season. Let's just stop and remember what this is all about. Realize, read it with me if you would, that you weren't set free by a payment of what? Silver and gold. This is something that couldn't be purchased. It was just something much more. Rather, read with me, the payment, there's that idea, freed. In the literal translation, that redeemed you, that freed you, was what? Precious. It was the precious blood of Christ that redeemed you. Now, I want you to think about for a second, wait a second, how valuable am I to God? How much does God love me? Well, he loves you this much. He spread his hands on the cross. God is saying this morning, remember, you have infinite value. You are precious. I gave up my life for your life. I know some of us are struggling with that. Pastor, I don't understand because I wasn't ready. And I know that's why the habit of coming to God's house regularly until this message begins to sink in deep in our heart, we begin to understand the good news. God really does love you. Jude and I the other day were in a deep conversation about what we would do in the event of the zombie apocalypse. And he's my youngest, and we were strategizing. It's like, do we get in the car, lock the doors, where they surround the car, and they start banging on the windows. Eventually, they're going to break in, so that's not a good idea. We're going to go inside the house, but they're going to surround the house, start climbing up the walls. And it's just like, we're strategizing. What are we going to do? Zombie apocalypse. And out of nowhere, caught me off guard. And we're talking about this. Jude said, Dad, would you die for us? Have you seen zombie movies? I mean, and he had a point. I could see him reasoning because he was like, really, all I have to do is outrun him. And it's, so he was figuring this thing out. And I just had those little moments that you have as parents. It can happen at bizarre times. Trust me, this bizarre times. And I was like, son, I got to be honest, I hope I would. I mean, I love you, and I hope I would lay down my life so you and your brothers and sister, mom could live. I'm just an earthly father. And here's the thing, I'm like already questioning. I'm like, that's gonna hurt. Think I will, Jude, but and the scripture comes along and says it's not an if. You don't have to doubt this. God has proved his love toward you in this. He has demonstrated. There's evidence that God loves you this much. How? He died for us even when we were his enemies. That's how much he loves. That's how worthy. That's how much value you have. Now, I can see some of you, you're already wrestling with it because you come from different churches, different backgrounds, and you've listened to the radio or whatever. This is not pop psychology, and this is not just feel-good rubbish. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. He deals with our shame. But if you're not careful, You can slip back into the slavery of thinking, into the bondage of I'm not worthy. I'm no good. I could never serve the Lord. Here's the thing is, shame is constantly around us. I remember being in a meeting with, I'm going to say there were probably 25 pastors in the room from all over the country. And the guy who was leading the meeting said, we want to just go around the room and just introduce yourself. Tell us about your church, what's going on with you, and who you are so we can get to know each other. How many love it when you hear something like that? You've been in a class where that's happened, maybe a professor or somebody said, let's just go around a room, just introduce ourselves. So, pastor after pastor stands up, confident, seemed like to me, just bold, just, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I pastor in the Phoenix area, and our church is this, and we're doing that, and that, and that, and that. And as it was getting closer and closer to my time to stand up and introduce myself, I could feel my chest tightening. And I really haven't felt it. It wasn't just nervousness. It was almost like I can't even, it was a physical manifestation, almost like an anxiety attack. I was just like, it was manifesting itself physically. I started getting cold. You know, I'm sweating. I'm like, my heart's pounding. I'm like, oh, my God, am I losing my voice? You know, and then the guy right next to me stands up, and I'm just comfortable as can be, and I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And I can't even hear him talk anymore. The time's standing still. And then it's my turn, and everyone looks at me, and I stand up, and I say, I'm Charlie, and I could hear my voice shaking. I just said, can we just go to the next person right now? The next person kind of looked at me. Everyone's looking. And just like, sure. And blah, blah, blah. And he got up and started talking all confidently. And I didn't hear anything for the rest of the class. But you know what I heard? Shame. Embarrassment. You're an idiot. In my mind. This is your job. And you're around other pastors. They think you're an idiot. They think those poor people in his little church, God, I'm putting him on our prayer list. I'm just, you know, we got to pray for that guy. How could I ever be a pastor or pastor a great church or leap? It just constant, just shame, shame, shame. And God does not shame people. Some of us are listening to the voice of shame, and that shame's coming from your accuser. Listen to these different voices of shame. I'm ugly. It's not just that I feel or maybe I think. No, I really, genuinely, God comes along and says, you're dynamite, you're beautiful. Wonderfully and beautifully made. Some of us in here, it's just a constant, just nagging, shaming voice that's just, I'm not as intelligent as they are. I'm just not, I'm an idiot. I won't say that, but I'm just not smart enough. God says, you've got everything you need. Intelligent. Look at you. How about this shaming voice of constantly, I'm not living in freedom because I'm thinking what other people think. Whoa. How about this? Here's shame. No one can ever find out about. I got to keep this a secret. Got to put this under. Why? Because I'm so embarrassed. And Jesus comes along and says, son, daughter, where are your accusers? Where are those who condemn you? I don't condemn you. Get up. Get up. I offer you forgiveness and value and worth in me. Let's wrap this up. This is going to be tough for some of us to hear, and you're going to wrestle with this, but that's okay. That's okay. You ready? Here's the truth. God loves you just the way that you are.
Some of you already bristled. Well, no, 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 he doesn't. Because I've got this and that, and I gotta fix this and that and do this. No, 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 you missed it. You missed it. No. You don't have to do anything before he starts loving you. God is love. And once you receive this love, it begins to drive out. His perfect love begins to drive out every single fear that plagues our lives. Lord, think that I could be loved, Lord, by you and forgiven by you. Here's the crazy thing. This love, some of you are still figuring it out. You're like, no, he doesn't, Pastor Charlie. I know why he doesn't, because this. It's not about you and what you've done. It's about what God has done in his son. And it's a gift, a free gift to you. Of what? Of freedom. Come on out. Stop living in that slavery. Come on out. Stop living in that slavery of thinking in your mind that you don't have value, you can, or you can't measure up, or you can't serve God. Get out of that prison. Stand firm in the freedoms by which Christ has made you free. Now, here's the crazy thing. Once we begin to receive and learn and grow in that unconditional love of God, that deep satisfaction, security of the love of God, that kindness and goodness of God, it begins to transform our lives. And he beautifies our lives, as then we're able to turn around and not only love ourselves right, but then love others in Jesus' name. You with me? Come on, let's across the sanctuary. Let's bow our heads just right now. Come on, what's the Lord saying to you? What's the Spirit of God saying to you? As every head bowed, eyes are closed, I just want you to have a moment right now. You're in God's good house. There's resources here. There's help here. There's strength here. I just want you to tap into it right now. Jesus said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer for all people. I want you to just take this moment right now and cry out to the Lord. Lord, 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 you're better than I thought. You're better than I understand. Lord, you're so much greater than I was led to believe, God. You're so much kinder. You're so much more magnanimous. Lord, help that love, God, just to, Lord, help me to find my Christmas, Lord, again. And, Lord, to walk in that freedom, Lord, that you paid for and you, Lord, that was your mission, Lord, to call us out of that place where we are, God, and to walk in the absolute light, Lord, of the freedom by which you have made us free. Lord, cast out shame, those shameful thoughts. Lord, fill it, God, with your, Lord, with your confidence, Lord, and the light, Lord, of your love, God. Lord, forgive our sins. Lord, I thank you, God, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, in Jesus' name we pray. All of us said, that was awful week. All of us said, what? Amen. Amen. Come on, say it.